was that small step for man, because it's time for Grain of Truth. Please welcome your host, David Innes.
Hello and welcome to Grain of Truth, the show that treats the truth the same way that history treats the loser. Your Grains of Truth today, courtroom dramas filmed before the days of colour are said to be a legal grey area. Best sound in the world. Some people turn to the Bible to find the answers to life's questions. In reality, they should be looking at the Bible's teacher edition. Locksmiths are the most common locks in the phone book. It's always fun to play blackjack with 90s rock bands until Ben folds. And x squared plus 4x plus 3, am I right?
That's the funniest one yet.
To introduce our panellists for this episode, it's over to the anatomically correct Scott McAteer.
From Charles Sturt University Wagga Wagga campus, representing heroes, it's Rob Lloyd. From the University of Adelaide, representing social studies, it's Vicky Kiriakakis. From McRobertson Girls' School, representing domestic science, it's Anna Rendenbrink. And from the University of Melbourne, representing mathematics, it's Roland Lewis.
The rules of Grain of Truth are simple. I award points to the panellists for their responses to the ridiculously absurd questions, scenarios, and topics that I pose. So whoever has the most points wins the coveted Grain of Truth prize, which this week is an agony aunt.
Oh. Nice!
She won't really listen to your problems, but she is in a lot of pain. Before we begin the quiz, here's a small challenge for everyone. Can you name the grain of truth that connects all four of our panellists' surnames? That is Lloyd, Kiriakakis, Rensenbrink, and Lewis. And we'll return to this at the end of the show, but I will give you a clue. Pillows.
Oh, hello.
There's your clue. Pillows. Okay. But let's now begin with round one, which is called 90-second TED Talk. Each player must give a short speech on a topic relating to their field in 90 seconds. At 60 seconds, they will hear this noise. And at the 90-second mark, they'll hear this noise. And which they must cease and desist. Our first person to speak is Rob Lloyd, who's representing Heroes. And your topic is GOT should be more like GOT. Rob, your time starts now.
Now, I can tell from all of your bewildered looks on your faces what the hell is he talking about. GOT, Grain of Truth. GOT, Game of Thrones. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, Grain of Truth has been going for 7 episodes now, and it's tired. It's boring. It's dull. It needs to be more like Game of Thrones, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the show that's taking over this world, and it needs to take over Grain of Truth. What does this show need more of? Blood, violence, gore, and fun bags. This is what it needs. It's all a pleasant conversation and chat. Do you know this interesting fact? Do you know that interesting fact? It's very lovely, but there is no stakes, ladies and gentlemen. This is a nation, this is a world all about the stakes being raised. We need to be on the edge of our seats all the time. It's not about who will win the coveted prize. It's more about who's going to die, who's going to live, who's going to be maimed, and who's going to be eviscerated by a dragon. A dragon! We need to bring more stakes to this game of Grain of Truth. We need more nudity. We need more blood. Instead of having little tings, we need instead of the honk at the end, we need caca of dragons. Grain of Truth is dead. Game of Thrones, live forever! Winter is coming.
If the panel had a television show that they would like their life to be more like, what would it be?
Oh, it would have to be Edwardian Farm, the BBC series where they put historians in Edwardian times and make them farm.
And they don't get any prize at the end. That's what the BBC, no, they did it with, like, World War II, and they did it with
Tudor times.
Yeah. And what did they get at the end of it? They go, you got to live in that time
for
a little bit.
They got learning, Rob. They got learning.
And isn't that the biggest prize of all?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, our next speaker is Vicky Kiriakakis, representing social studies. And your topic is that an elephant would make a great prime minister. Vicky, your time starts now.
Elephants love jazz. They really do. If you guys haven't already, you need to see this YouTube video of an elephant playing with a piano. They are jazzing it up, man. They are jazzing it up. And as everyone knows, jazz people just make better leaders because they're more capable of dealing with the chaos. the chaos that comes with jazz. So think about it. Elephants equals jazz equals leaders. That's why an elephant would make a better prime minister. But let's move away from this obvious fundamental fact for a moment and just look at the accoutrements that come with the elephant. Elephants have long noses. Very long noses. I don't know if you guys have noticed. And so you're sitting in Parliament House, the opposition leader opposite to you is going, wah, 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 wah. You just dip your little nose into a little bucket of muck and give him a good solid spray. Spray. Like, what, you know, you don't have to, excuse me, Madam Speaker. No, none of that. You just dip your nose in and give him a good solid spray and make your point. Or if you're in an interview and an interviewer is kind of going, you know, Prime Minister, you know, what that policy decision you made kind of sucked, you just dip into your little bag of peanuts. And it's like an automatic pea shooter, an automatic built-in pea shooter. And they're done. The interview's over. Let's get serious, though, for just 1 minute, shall we? Elephants have long memories. That's one of their defining characteristics, is their incredible long memories. So an elephant, you'd never have a situation where you'd be like, Madam Prime Minister, because let's face it, elephants are matriarchs. Madam Prime Minister, you know, is it true that you got that $3,000 bucket of peanuts delivered and that you didn't declare it? The elephant would be like, I don't recall. Oh, no, wait. Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I remember exactly. Yes, it's true. It's all true. That's why elephants would make better prime ministers.
We are people of different occupations, apart from being humorous panel people, I suppose. Do you think there's an animal that would be better at your job?
Yes, I'm a teacher by profession. Yeah. And personally, given some of the people I work with, I think monkeys would make a good teacher.
Yeah, you were going to say that.
I'm a quality assurance officer. Maybe an owl.
Why an owl?
They're so wise.
There were no quality when they saw it. That would definitely be assured. What about you, Rob?
Carrying on with the theme, dragon. Dragon are always better. I know they're not real. They are in my mind. So
what?
I teach as well. Huh? So, Mr. Lloyd, I've got a smart-ass comment to say. Burn them. I also do stand-up comedy. You know, show us your... Awesome. It works out all the same.
What about
burn
you?
Burn them. That's my policy. Burn them.
I was going to say monkey too. Like, I'm a writer and a communications person. It just strikes me that if you leave a monkey for long enough at a computer, it'll come up with pretty much the same... that I come up with every day.
It is the best of times. Monkeys. It was the blurst of times. You stupid monkey.
Our next speaker is Anna Renzenbrink, representing domestic science. And your topic is, if you're on death row, what meal should you order? Anna, your time starts now.
Well, to truly understand this ritual of a last meal, we need to look to history. And in the olden times when death meant getting your head lopped off by a guillotine or very sharp axe, the offering of a special meal was a sign that the condemned forgave their executioner. So a peace offering so that the prisoner once beheaded would not come back and haunt them. So the better the food and drink, the better the forgiveness. Which brings us to the American prison system, where the last meal is such a big thing. And in Louisiana, prisoners ate their last meal with the warden, so you'd want to make it nice if you had company. And usually these last meals were comfort food like fried chicken or collard greens or apple pie and Coke or pizza, you know, classy. But it's highly unlikely that a serial killer on death row could make it to heaven, but they might enjoy a big slice of fluffy angel's food cake to help things along. And if one is more pagan than Christian, then a cup of tea made up of herbs associated with forgiveness, like basil or chamomile and cloves, might soothe your conscience. And also colt's foot, which is an antispasmodic, and that's especially useful, I would say, if you were getting the chair. So I think we must return to the concept of comfort food when choosing our last meal. And in my opinion, one should leave this earth after consuming what one drank as one's first meal. So I say for your last meal, choose breast milk. Breast is best. That distracted me.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
I said milk like milk.
You did say milk. Breast milk and you squeezed like this, like you're squeezing your breast. Doesn't all...
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
I do like
the fact that Game of Thrones is seeping
into
the show.
It is.
We're swearing a lot
and,
more
and you've
and we've
taken your pants
boobies
off.
A lot more. No, it needs no pants. Bring me my red wine.
Anna, what would be your last meal?
Breast milk.
So it would be as well? Would everyone else agree, or would you have a different choice?
Oh, I'd easily go for the rocket-powered lasagna.
The so. Rocket-powered lasagna?
Yeah, yeah, so I could, like, escape. Why didn't anyone think of that? They said, oh, I'll have the chisel burger. So you can go to sleep and chisel your way out.
I think it's because people don't live in the crazy, wacky Warner Brothers cartoon world that you live in, Rob.
That's why this world sucks.
What about you, Vicky?
Chocolate cake. That's not very funny. But
devil's yeah. food cake.
Yes.
The cake could kill you before the state does.
That's right.
Fabulous. Our final speaker for the first round is Rowan Lewis, representing mathematics, and your topic is how you can use mathematics to find out if your best friend is a robot. Mm-hmm. Roland, your time starts now.
Now, in these days of ever-progressive technology, one issue is surfacing as a recurring problem worldwide. Friends are being replaced by robots. What started off as a little fun with Asimo dancing with Obama and the Neo, pronounced now, competing in robot soccer tournaments, has developed into a worldwide epidemic. Now, I apologise. I can't solve this problem. But I can help you check that your best friend is really your best friend with mathematics. Now, friendship is a complicated concept, much like the Fibonacci sequence. You see, no one quite knows how it starts, but once it's up and running, it takes care of itself. And because of this ambiguous nature of general friendship, there is no formula that can be applied. So again, I apologize. Your friends are probably robots. Best friendship, however, is different. It is not a line. It is not a pattern. It's a constant. Again, it's hard to say how it starts, but this ultimate level of friendship has no endpoint. Just constant circulation, your friend around a central point, you, it's a perfect circle. Now, circles have a formula, and they have a constant in both area and the formula for the circumference, and that is pi. So if you can find out that in the mathematical equation of you and your friend, pi, then you know that they are a human. So, it's a simple algebraic deduction that can be used. Take the circumference of your friendship, how often you see them as a decimal fraction of one, one being all your time. Halve that, then divide it by half the distance between you and your friend, time spent arguing as a fraction of one, one being all the time. If the answer equals approximately 3.1459, your friend is not a robot. Congratulations! And for now.
Absolutely.
My friend is so totally a robot.
It really? And what is there any other characteristics that make your friend a robot?
Just the antennae that come out every now and then when they're eating.
That would be a killer.
The lack of empathy. I would never have known.
The lack of empathy?
Oh, God. That means a lot of my friends, I think, are. That would explain.
Well, I'm not a robot, but I do have problems with my antennae.
Classic Lloyd.
And at the end of the round, it's over to Scott with the scores.
At the end of that round, Anna is on the lead by 19 dickety 2.
Wow!
So close. Next round is the analysis and application round. Our panel is divided into teams of two, and they must apply their skills to solve an application task. Rob and Vicky, I'll be challenging you first, and I'll be challenging you to a movie trailer. I need you to be movie trailer voiceover guys for a popular film as if it was a contradicting genre. Mm. Okay, so in this case, I would like you to be the voiceover for the film Babe, but if it was a horror film...
In a world gone crazy with vegetarians, one man dared to keep the meat trade alive.
It won't take my pigs alive.
Farmer Hoggett, a one-man killer, wanting to keep pork on everyone's fork. Until one day, a young plucky pig came in his way.
Hello, my name's Pig!
Man, pig, the ultimate battle!
You can't eat me! I'm cuddly and pink!
With an all-star cast, including Helen Mirren as Babe.
I love you!
That's an Oscar-winning performance. Christopher Lee as Farmer Hoggett.
Oh, hi. Pig. Pig.
And of course, Kate Blanchett as every single sheep.
Me, babe, babe.
You only get that type of range in Australia. Babe, coming to cinemas this fall.
Rob and Vicky. Next will be Anna and Roland. I'll be challenging you to explain the rules and objectives of some very old Victorian parlour games. Mm. These are parlour games that were existed for a very long time ago. They sort of went out of fashion. Mm. And I would like you to explain what they were and perhaps the objective.
Great.
The first one is the classic game Thumbing the Pie.
Yes, this is a parlour game that went out of fashion a long time ago. But with the regeneration of hipsters taking on things that once were cool, it's actually come back. Thumbing the pie is where you take a pie.
Yeah, it was kind of a way to insult the chef, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
It was. It was a way of saying, your pie doesn't suit my palate.
So they you'd stick your thumb in the pie, mm-hmm. and just throw the crust off as far as you could.
Right. Fabulous. What about that classic game, The Peking Susan?
Oh, well, the Peking Susan was named after a very naughty girl who became notorious for watching people dressing.
Susan Chesterfield.
Susan Chesterfield. So it was a bit like hide and seek, I think, but you had to catch someone in the act of undressing to win the game.
And if they saw you peeking at them, then you automatically lose.
That's right.
Fantastic. What about the game Put the Pin on the Servant?
Put the pin on the servant.
That was abolished with slavery, I think.
It was, but if you are in certain areas of the country, you can still play this game.
Yeah, as a way of showing everyone else, this servant is mine.
Yeah, so...
You pin them.
It's a competition to pin as many servants as you can.
That's right.
Servants, the better, higher standing you have in society.
With hospital-grade stainless steel pins.
Of course, you don't want infections.
No. Septicemia.
And finally, Crumpets and What, Madam Cumberdale?
Crumpets and What, Madam Cumberdale? One of your favourites,
yeah, I think. Contrary to what the name would suggest, it's actually an after-dinner game.
Yes.
It's where you hide crumpets underneath certain rugs around the house.
That's right. And if you find a crumpet, then you have to talk about your extramarital affairs.
Ladies and gentlemen, roll it out. And now for the scores, it's over to Scott. What's the score update?
At the end of that round, Vicky is in the lead by 112 points.
Oh, 112. Was that Helen Mirren?
It was the Helen Mirren.
Our next round is called Stumble, Mumble or Bumble.
Hey.
Thank you. The players are challenged to answer quick-fire ridiculous questions. If they stumble, mumble or bumble, the other players can go and make a noise like this and take over from the topic, or I can go and squeeze like that.
Oh,
and
thanks, Dave.
And I can go and pass on the topic or start afresh. Rob, you're first, and your topic is what makes a hero?
What makes a hero? Dragons! No, dragons don't make a hero. What makes a hero is the ability to... my mum is my hero because she's right here. No, I'm saying this. My mum's my hero. Why is she my hero? Because it's free comic book day. We went to two comic book shops so we can get more than just the two allocated comic books, and then we went patchwork shopping. That's heroic work. Comic books and patchwork.
The question was not who is a hero. It was what makes a hero.
Yeah. I don't give a... talking about my mum.
Before this turns into violence.
Stop squeezing me like that, Dave.
Vicky, if Snow White was set in Australia...
If Snow White was set in Australia, there'd be seven outback buckos. What do you call those people that with the big gene?
Jackaroos.
Jackaroos. Thank you. Thank you, Jackaroos. There'd be like seven Jackaroos, and like she'd have like the Wicked Witch would probably be like some lady called Sheila or Sharon or Narae.
Gina.
Gina. And then they'd be living like in a little outback like shed thing with sheep and I got nothing else.
I'll take it over from there. Anna, who would you like to have dinner with tonight?
You.
Oh, I'll accept that. Thank you. Roland, how does maths make us the most dominant species on the planet?
That's simple, because other animals are stupid and they cannot do maths, and therefore they do not belong in the university studying excellent concepts such as the Fibonacci sequence, as I mentioned earlier.
See, dragons are smart because they know not only how to fire out fire out of their throats, they also know how to fly, and they also can distinguish who is the person that raised them. And that's very cool. So that's an awesome way of doing things. Monkey do that? No, they just fling poo.
Well, I was about to say, which is actually part of the Ausvels Year 7 maths requirement, so that is fine. Anna, Vegemite is the ultimate evolution in food.
It's a yeast spread, so it's alive.
So wow, every time you really put Vegemite on toast, yeast cries. If you hold up a piece of butter and Vegemite to your ear, you hear it going,
oh, we're happy little Vegemite that's right in front of us.
You've just made Vegemite 100% more terrifying.
Vicky, why do we exist?
We exist because the universe exists. And the universe exists because at some point some little atom of matter came into being and said, I think I'd like to exist, and then it exploded.
We exist because Game of Thrones is on every Monday night and we need to watch it, okay?
We exist because chaos theory dictates that we were always going to exist.
We need to exist because Grain of Truth is on every once a month down here at the Wesleyan, and we need to come down here and get our information on.
And that's the end of the round. Give it a round of applause for the battle. And at the end of that round, Scott, if you can give us a points update.
At the end of that round, Rob is in the lead by an isometric cube.
Damn, isometric cubes.
That's a long way in front.
By three.
And now it's time to reveal to our Grain of Truth connection challenge. Firstly, did anyone on the panel get the connection between our panelists' surnames? That was Lloyd, Kyriakakis, Renzenbrink, and Lewis.
I thought they were all sidekicks for Inspector Morse. Did everyone remember the early seasons? They've gone back and they've done the early years of Morse, and he was around with...
All the names of World Cup soccer competitors.
I kind of wish they...
Are they all, like, Days of Our Lives people? Like, people who had affairs with each other?
They're all members. They're all members of Huey Lewis and the News. They're all... The News have names as well, ladies and gentlemen. They're not just the News, all right? They've got other names as well.
Name is Derek the News.
Exactly. They are all actually sexy words that you can use during pillow talk.
Oh, that connects the...
oh, yeah.
Hello, darling. You're looking a bit Kyriakakis tonight.
saucy stuff.
Well, actually...
Care to try some Lloyd's?
Does it involve dragons?
Yes, it does.
Loosen up a bit.
And the answer is looking for, they're all hotels.
Oh, wow.
The Lloyd Hotel is a hostel in Amsterdam.
Keeping up with the Game of Thrones stuff.
That's where all the fun happens.
Fun
The Lewis Grand Hotel is a 3.5-star hotel in Luzon in the Philippines. Hotel Kyriakakis is in the Aegea Marina in Greece, and it has one review on the TripAdvisor. Four out of 5 stars. Setting it has the best moussaka in Aegina.
That's moussaka.
Oh, moussaka?
Yeah. Moussaka.
It has the best moussaka in Aegina.
I want to know where the best moussaka is, though.
It's Aegina.
Moussaka bazooka.
Oh. It's moussaka in Aegina.
You want your moussaka?
I'm sorry, Vicky. It's all Greek to me.
Hey!
Give that a clap! Come on!
And
wordplay at its best. Don't let me unleash the dragons.
Keep your pants back on. And the Forest Hotel Renzenbrink is in Bramsch, Germany, and it can hold up to 100 people for parties.
That's nice.
Everyone, we're partying at Renzenbrink tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is come to the end of the program, so Scott, if you can furnish us with a declaration on who is today's winner.
The winner of the Agony Aunt is Anna Renzenbrink.
Yay! close with any of my aunts, so I think this is a really good prize.
I always like to think useful prizes, so thank you very much. And do keep it well dusted. It's the end of the program, and I hope you enjoyed it. You can come and see the recording on the first Saturday of the month at 1 p.m. at the Wesleyan. Our website is www.grainoftruth.com.au, and you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/grainoftruthshow, and on Twitter at grainoftruths. And it now just leaves me to thank our panel, Rob Lloyd, Vicky Kiriakakis, Anna Renzenbrink, and Roland Lewis, our announcer, Scott McAteer, our composer, Matthew Hadgraff, Damien Sutton, and the Wesleyan. I've been your host, David Innes. Have an absolutely splendid day. This has been a Game of Thrones production.